God, through his word, confirm all he's already said today, and may God emphasize to us the things that we need to hear today through his spirit. Amen. I'm going to read to you a short passage from scripture, a passage that is very well known, that is crucial to the New Testament, so we're very grateful to our forebears for including it in the canon of scripture, and also probably a scripture that is often, I suppose, misunderstood. And we're staying with our theme of simply gospel, and about the theme we're thinking about togetherness. We've been thinking for 2 weekends about that now, being together in the gospel, and we're going to be thinking about it through the whole of November before we begin the season of Advent leading into Christmas. And today we're particularly thinking about truth, so our memory verse was totally appropriate. And Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18. Paul is the writer. Finally, build up your strength in union with the Lord and by means of his mighty power. Put on all the armor that God gives you so that you will be able to stand up against the devil's evil tricks. For we are not fighting against human beings, but against the wicked spiritual forces in the heavenly world, the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers of this dark age. So put on God's armor now. Then, when the evil day comes, you will be able to resist the enemy's attacks, and after fighting to the end, you will still hold your ground. So stand ready with truth as a belt tight round your waist, with righteousness as your breastplate, and as your shoes, the readiness to announce the good news of peace. At all times, carry faith as a shield, for with it you will be able to put out all the burning arrows shot by the evil one. And accept salvation as a helmet, and the word of God as the sword which the Spirit gives you. Do all this in prayer, asking for God's help. Pray on every occasion as the Spirit leads. For this reason, keep alert and never give up. Pray always for all God's people. Amen. And the PowerPoint would be great, Mikhail. In the letter to the Ephesians, which is probably the portion of scripture I would choose to have if I was only allowed to have one of those books of the Bible, there are 3 main pictures which are used to describe togetherness. Sometimes we talk about oneness, sometimes we talk about unity, but the word that I'm using is togetherness. Believers in Jesus have a togetherness. That is actually the gospel of peace. It's the gospel of togetherness that we share. And the church of God is described, and it's very easy to remember this because there's 3 B's. The church is described like a body. We all know what a body looks like and how it works, with Jesus as the head. It's described like a building with Jesus at the cornerstone. And it's described like a bride, of which Jesus is the husband. And they're all pictures of togetherness. And we are on a journey with God towards a greater togetherness. And the work of the Holy Spirit is always promissory. It means we have some of the blessings of God now, and we are to go on and inherit and experience and discover all of those blessings of God. It's something we strain towards. So in the Christian life, there is both the experience of peace and restfulness, and also of struggle and strain. And church itself is full of those experiences, just being with God's people. We are straining towards the time, and our songs have reflected that, creation itself straining towards the time when Jesus returns and fully brings in his kingdom. We live in the reality of the present. We are not escapists, but we move forward to that time. It's going to be a pain today. Switch this on. Never knew how to do that, Mikkel. Where do I switch it on? Oh, I've got it. Oh, that's clever. Does help in life, doesn't it, to be switched on? Okay. The belt of truth. Our togetherness comes from gathering around the Lord Jesus. So all those things that Neil is forever sharing about being still, being clean, being holy, being one, being like Jesus, or about coming to Jesus and being with Jesus. But it goes even further in the New Testament. Even in this passage, it talks about being ready and being bold. But it all stems from our relationship with the Lord. So our togetherness is from gathering around Jesus. And the church is a fellowship of the Holy Spirit, which is an amazing statement. Our togetherness is in the Spirit. And as Christians, as we live together in true fellowship, God is glorified. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. So togetherness, unity, oneness is an incredible truth about our faith. And one of the reasons for the death and resurrection of Jesus is bringing us together. Together with God, a greater integration of our own personalities and lives, because we are very damaged. So a greater integration, togetherness with ourself, and also a togetherness, a living fellowship of the Holy Spirit. And the death of Jesus has made these things possible. That's why whenever we come to praise, we always have something to absolutely praise God. And this passage is a passage in the plural. It's not about an individual Christian life. And I have to say to you that the New Testament really hardly talks about the individual Christian life. It does talk about personal holiness, but it's always in the context of relationship. So this passage speaks about all the saints, and we are all saints. I do believe in the saints. I find absolutely no need to canonize them, but we are all the saints. And we experience a togetherness. And we're told in this passage that actually we're like a soldier equipped to stand against evil. And we are in a situation where evil is prevalent in our nation and throughout the world, and where we need to see the kingdom of God come. But it's a very different type of warfare, isn't it? It's a spiritual and a moral warfare. It's not a physical battle. All the saints. Paul talks about not fighting on our own, but fighting together as the church. And today I want to try and think of ourselves as a soldier, not just as individual soldiers, but a soldier. And in fact, to even think of the whole church of God as clothed with God's armor. And we're told to put that armor on. And there's a need for each of us, but also not just individually, but together, to take four things according to Paul's passage. And as you know, Paul had often been in house arrest, and Roman soldiers had stood in front of him. He'd seen how they were dressed. Those soldiers would have marched through the streets. They would have seen them. They understood that. They also knew that in Isaiah, God is depicted as a mighty warrior of righteousness who wars against evil. They would have understood that as well. The church as a body needs to put on God's armor. So I believe that relates not just to you and me as individuals, but as a local church, and also as national churches, and also over the whole of the universe. We are to wear the armor that God gives to us. There are four things in this list that we are to take hold of, that we are to actually do something about, and two things that are given to us. Salvation is given to us like a helmet, and the sword of the Spirit, God's word, is given to us so that we know truth. But there are four things, and we're going to look at each of those things, thinking about togetherness. And I want us to feel stronger because we are part of a church. And we are not isolated on our own. Now, if God called us into solitary confinement for our faith and we were on our own, then God would enable us. But God gives us one another. And though the church in many ways is incredibly weak numerically in the UK, we have tremendous strength because we stand in Jesus Christ and we stand in truth. We need to take the belt of truth around the whole of the church. Truth is incredibly important, and we'll mention why in a moment. The breastplate of righteousness, and we'll be thinking about that next week. The shoes of readiness, being ready to share the good news of peace, of togetherness, and the shield of faith. But today we focus in on the belt of truth around the waist of the church. And I'd like you to picture that. Did anybody read my email and bring a belt? Who's wearing a belt? Well done, Amanda. Well, it might help you to really... there are all sorts of belts. Some are decorative and for pretty. If you're wearing a belt, you can feel it and be aware of it and the strength that comes from that. And truth is described as a belt that literally holds everything together. It's yours might be shorter than mine, but it's actually a belt. And truth, in many ways, is to be wrapped around the whole of the church. It gives us strength and it holds us together. So just be aware of the reality of a belt. For the Romans, it was probably made in leather. It may have been decorated, but it had to do a job. It was there to hold everything together. We are one body, although we are many individuals. We are one body, and we have one belt of truth. It's not truth just as it relates to me individually, but truth as it is, as objective reality. And it is a key question. What can be known? What can be experienced? What is true? That is part of what our society is thinking about. And for hundreds of years, maybe even thousands, some have tried to suggest that all truth is relative. It's only what I experience. And so people are quite happy for you to be a Christian, as long as you're not saying your faith is true as opposed to anybody else's. So truth is a very, very important idea in our society. In the memory verse that we were listening to from the children six times over, and every time I thought it was just wonderful, Jesus says, "I am the truth. I am the truth." And that was a phenomenal claim then, and it trips off our tongues now. But it's an amazing claim. We stand in truth because we stand in Christ. And that is one of our claims as Christian people, that we are actually following the truth. And the truth is defined in and fully shown and revealed in a person. Truth makes us strong, and lies weaken people, and they weaken society. And I just want you to think about how many lies will be told and lived out today in people's private lives, their domestic lives, in the workplace, in newspapers, in government. It is so easy to lie. Some people, it just trips off their tongue. But most of us are well aware that we do not always speak and live the truth. John, in another place, you know, says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So truth makes us strong, lies weaken people and society. And so I think we have quite a weak society. So when we talk about building society, we have a difficulty. And I don't just mean this society, many societies in the world. Jesus says that we will experience freedom if we know the truth. And I'm going to read just these verses because they are well worth us learning. I'm not sure if the children have yet learned these, but we would do well to learn these and to know these. Just a few passages. So Jesus said to those who believed in him, "If you obey my teaching, you're really my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, these verses didn't come out of an anti-slavery movement, although truth came into that movement. They didn't come out of a civil rights movement, although the civil rights movements recognized these as truth. These are spoken by Jesus Christ. And then in verse 36, it also says this: "If the Son sets you free, then you will be really free. You will be free indeed." And this is all to do with truth and the teachings of Jesus Christ. We cannot afford to vaguely know the teachings of Jesus. We have to know the teachings of Jesus deep within our hearts, not least when the time comes when we will be too old to read our Bibles. I was praying with somebody just in Scotland this week when I was with my uncle, somebody else I visited, who said for 60 years he's read his Scripture Union notes, and he's now, however old he is, I didn't ask that, he is really just too tired and unable to read his Bible. And I said to him, "But in Jeremiah it says his law will be in our hearts." And his word, the word of God, is in his heart, and the truth that he knows sets him free. And the time may come when we are blind, or when we just can't see well enough, or whatever. And we need the truth within us to live by, which will make us strong. One of my favourite films is the film Secrets and Lies, which Mike Lee directs, Timothy Spalding and various others star in it. And he's talking about family life. And he talks about secrets and lies and the confusion and the agony that secrets and lies, I believe, cause within every family. But its application of secrets and lies has relevance for the whole of society that we are building. The half-truths that are said, the lack of transparency, the lack of integrity in people's personal lives make us very, very weak. Today, in fact yesterday, is my celebration of the promises I made to God 28 years ago when I came to this church, and the church made about prayerfulness for me. And we do need to pray for our leaders. Helen slipped that in. Not just because they work so very hard and give so very much time, but that they will be people of truth and integrity. They will never be perfect, but that we may be able to be people of truth. And my observation as a pastor of 28 years is that people lie. We lie to ourselves, we lie to others, but we never get away with lying to God. We con ourselves, we fool ourselves, we don't really face the truth. So rather like that very powerful golden oldie reflection on the Our Father, we're really not honest often in prayer, and we need to pause and to think about what we're saying and so on. Because God brings us to a greater freedom and joy. Truth and living in truth and integrity brings us tremendous joy. We may suffer because of it. We may be monetary poorer, as that prayer said. You may not have as much money as if you just slightly bent the truth, but actually truth brings a tremendous freedom and satisfaction. And part of our following God is to live in the light, to live in a greater truth about ourselves and other people, isn't it? It's to come to a fresh and real understanding of how the world really is, and to live in freedom and great joy. And it's just a tremendous thing to ask that we might live in truth. If you don't live in the truth, if you don't have the belt of truth, you will be caught with your trousers down. Quite simply, morally and in every sense of the word, you will be caught with your trousers down. And you understand what I mean by that, the moral implication. I don't just mean in sexual immorality, but in every sense of the word. You will not be ready. When the devil comes and lies and other people speak against you, if you do not have the belt of truth, you will be morally unprepared. You will not be ready to get up and fight. So I think that's rather graphically illustrated, although Paul doesn't quite spell it out. I am. If we really want to be ready and alert, then the belt of truth, the way I live today in the truth, prepares me for the lies that may come today or tomorrow. And I had my old friend Dot, Liz's sister, who died many years ago now. She learned scripture. She could say the whole of Ephesians. Shared a house with me and put me to shame on this, but she always believed that you bank up, you store in your heart, you prepare for the evil that will surely come, so that when it comes, you're prepared morally to face it. If the things happened in our country that are happening in Syria and Egypt, are we ready? And is truth important to us? We are only as strong as we are true. Lies will make us vulnerable to the accusation of others, but we are ready if we are living in integrity and being truthful with God and with one another. We are unready if we have lied or are living in hypocrisy. We're morally weaker, and we want to be strong, not because we're saying we're always right, but because we know the things that can be known. And those things which we're not sure of, we admit to. That is what faith is, being sure of the things that God has revealed and being able to live in the truth of that when there are uncertainties. So we're only as strong as we are true. If we speak the truth to one another in love, as it says in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 15, then real growth happens. Then evil lies will not separate us. If we lie to one another as God's people, or we lie to the world, then there is that great danger of separation. And we are to speak the truth in love, which means we try not to speak hastily to people. If we have to challenge one another, we think about what we're saying. What's the effect going to be when I challenge that person? And hopefully when they challenge me, they will have thought about, what is the effect this is going to have? Am I prepared to pray with this person and walk with this person as I speak the truth in love? And I want my friends to speak the truth to me. I don't want my friends to lie to me and say all is well when it is not well. We want friends that speak the truth to us in love. And love means that if somebody shares something that's hard, they will pray with us. They will walk with us, they will offer us encouragement, and so on. So it's incredibly important. And to speak the truth in love to the world, so that we don't just share the truth without prayer and careful thought when we share that with other people. Truth is incredibly important. It's the belt that holds us together as the church, as God's people, so that the enemy cannot separate us. So can you imagine a great belt of truth around the church? Truth and seeking for truth will always be important. And each new generation will have to seek God's way of truth through difficulties that the church may have never faced before. We will have to seek God's truth. The enemy cannot separate us if we are living in the truth that God gives. Our enemy, the father of all evil, is known as the father of lies, a liar from the beginning. He lied to our forebears, to our parents, Adam and Eve, to the human race, and as human beings we believed the lies, and they resulted in not togetherness but separation in every sense of the word. Truth is so important. There's an expression, evil triumphs when good people keep silent, and I didn't have time to Google it. So a prize to anybody, I'll buy you a packet of sweets or an apple if you get me the exact quote. Does anybody know the exact quote? You'll all vaguely know it, but that's your task for earlier this week. Evil triumphs when good people keep silent. There is a time to speak out the truth. Speak out the truth. Just quickly, to draw us into our time of reflection, we need truth in our thinking. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we read about the true message. The true message. And that is important. So that some things that are said about Jesus are not true. And we know the truth of the message by going back to God's word. And if people say certain things to us about Jesus, we need to know whether that's the true message or it's a message of error. Truth in our speaking, speaking the truth in love, is important to children, to friends, to people we work with. Speaking the truth in love, which means we may measure our words very carefully. Truth in our behaviour, no lying. It's pretty clear. And actually, that there is a harvest of truth. It says in chapter 5, verse 9, truth and various other things. We're talking about a harvest. Learning to live to speak the truth, so that when we find ourselves lying or saying something that's slightly skewed, it's almost as though we hear God. You know, like the voice we heard in the, you know, when you feel pulled back, it's like, oh, oh. And all of us need, even if we've been raised in homes where we were encouraged to tell the truth, but we may not. We may have had parents that they were used to, basically, you know, twisting it slightly. Truth in behaviour, no lying. Even if it costs us, maybe our job or something, we need to speak the truth. People are going to ask me the question, they always do, when they say, if somebody says to you in hospital, am I dying? Do you tell them the truth, the half-truth, or whatever? You're going to have to work that out. I find God always speaks the truth. But I also have found that God, although all his truth is clear and his revelation is here, God speaks to me the truth about me. It leaks out as I'm ready to hear it, and he reveals it as I'm ready to receive it. God never lies. Now, I'm one of these people that I would say yes. But when you're with a loved one, then you have to choose how you share the truth. But let's be truth speakers to people. When they ask us something and we find ourselves saying, don't worry, you're going to get better, and things like this, let's help one another face the truth in kindness and care and compassion. And we have to know what to say. And sometimes it's not just the words we say, it's the way we're with people and how we hold them or sit in silence. So being a truth speaker doesn't mean that we have to be brazen and blunt and uncaring. It is meant to be with all the love and the tenderness of God, who wants for us not just this life, but that eternal relationship with him. So it is hard to speak the truth, isn't it? At all times, it's hard to live with integrity when we struggle with that. So I'm not saying that it's always easy, but I am saying that God can enable us to live in truth in our behaviour, in our thinking, and in our speaking. The truth of the message that we share as God's people will be judged not just by your individual life. You are bound together by the belt of truth with all Christians. So we have a responsibility, I believe, as God's people, as a church, to speak the truth. We are bound together by truth. And people will judge the truth of the message we share, not just by our individual lives, which is a good job, but in many ways by the united witness of the church. And so we do have a responsibility in our witness to God. The message we share is about togetherness. Its truth and power is judged by our united witness, not just by our individual lives. A man whose work I greatly appreciate, called Newbegin, who was a canon in the Church of India, says, "We demonstrate the message of Jesus together. The hermeneutic of the gospel, that's what we are. The gospel, we actually act it out with our lives and the way we relate to one another. And that's how people know what the gospel is. Not just by the words we say, but by the way we live our lives." Let's just keep that slide up for the moment. And we have just a few moments to be still. We'll hear the children in the background, so we'll be very aware, quite rightly, of our responsibility to those that are growing up to live in truth. And I'd like us just again for some silent reflection. Beck has given me some keys which say this: what is God saying? What might I start or stop doing? So let's just reflect about our own lives and the place of truth in our lives and just be still for a moment. And then I will ask anybody if God has said anything that is for the wider group to share that. But for a moment, let's just be, sit in the presence of Christ and reflect.